This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com,
which is paired with Surah Ar-Rahman. So in the Quran, you will find Surah Ar-Rahman and then Surah Al-Waqiyah together, one after the other. And in a way, these are twin surahs. They are twin surahs because they share overlapping themes. Right? The themes of Al-Waqiyah and the themes of Ar-Rahman, they are the same. So for example, both of these surahs talk about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of the amazing things He has created. Both of these surahs talk about Jannah, giving us a very detailed description of Jannah. Both of these surahs give us a description of Jahannam. And a unique feature of both of these surahs is that these two surahs divide Jannah into two categories. Right? There's the higher Jannah and there's the Jannah for everybody else. And both of these surahs talk about it. So Surah Al-Waqi'ah and Surah Ar-Rahman, they share similar themes, and in a way they function together as twin surahs. Right? There are many pairings like this in the Quran, where one surah is mentioned after another and they function together as a pair. Another example would be Surah Al-Anfal and Surah Tawbah, the two jihad surahs. In fact, many Sahaba consider them to be one surah. Right? Likewise, Surah Ad-Duha and Alam Nashra, the two surahs about dealing with depression. They come one after another, they have similar themes, they have similar styles, and they have similar messages. So Surah Al-Waqi'ah and Surah Ar-Rahman, they fall into this category of surahs that have overlapping themes and they are paired together. Now, there are specific virtues narrated about Surah Al-Waqi'ah, but there is a difference of opinion on whether those hadiths are authentic or not. Right? I'll narrate it anyway. You can decide based on, you know, asking the ulama whether you want to follow the hadith or not. But basically, it is narrated that the Prophet ﷺ might have said that whoever recites Surah Al-Waqi'ah regularly will never be touched with poverty. Meaning that this surah causes barakah in one's wealth, protects us from poverty. So some of the ulama have said this hadith is weak, others have said it's authentic. Allah knows best. But what I want to focus on today is the core message of Surah Al-Waqi'ah. The core message of the surah is about afterlife and death, in that order. Afterlife and then death. Because our lives and our death should be in preparation for the afterlife. The afterlife is the main thing. That's the most important thing. And Surah Al-Waqi'ah, it goes in this order. It starts with the day of judgment, and then paradise, and then hell, and then reminders about the power of Allah, and it ends with the topic of death. And so it is preparing us to live our lives in such a way that we are constantly focused on the day of judgment. In fact, the name Al-Waqi'ah is one of the names of the day of judgment. Right? It is one of the names of the last day. In the Quran, Allah has given us many different names for the last day. In this surah, we have three primary descriptions of the last day. إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ, the day when the event will occur. Al-Waqi'ah means the inevitable event. The event that will definitely occur. لَيْسَ لِوَقْعَتِهَا كَاذِبًا, there is no denial of its occurrence. It will definitely occur. This is the meaning of Al-Waqi'ah. It is a day that is with certainty going to happen. The day of judgment. Allah gives us two other descriptions of the day of judgment in the surah. خَافِدَةُ رَافِعَةُ, خَافِدَة, the day when people who had high status in this world will be humiliated. And رَافِعَة, the day when people who had the lowest of status in this world will be raised up in their ranks. And what this tells us is that there are many people who in this world, they enjoy prestige. They may be famous, they may be wealthy, they may be powerful, but they misuse this. They do not use it in a way that is pleasing to Allah. They are arrogant. They do not take care of the rights of others. On the day of judgment, those people will be humiliated. And then there may be people that nobody knows. The hidden awliya, the righteous who nobody knew they existed. The most pious of people who were basically not known to society. And on the day of judgment, their status is elevated. And everyone gets to see them for who they really are, the true shining stars of that day. And so we have these three descriptions of the day of judgment. Al-Waqi'ah, Al-Khafidah, Al-Rafi'ah. Right? It is an inevitable occurrence. It is a day when the highest of people are brought down and humiliated. It is the day when the average person or the lowest of people in this world, in worldly sense, are given a high status because of their piety. And then the main message of the surah is that when it comes to receiving your report, your book of deeds on the day of judgment, there are three types of people. When it comes to receiving your book of deeds or report on the day of judgment, there are three types of people. Now many of us would think there's two types of people, right? Those of the right hand and those of the left hand. Those who pass and those who fail. But this surah actually divides the people on that day into three groups. Those who pass, those who fail, and those who pass with A grades. Those who pass with flying colors. So Allah separates between the average person who passes the test of life and gets into Jannah, and He separates them from the awliya, from the muqarrabun, from those who are close to Allah and who earn the higher ranks of Jannah. And so Allah gives us three categories of people. Washabul Maymana, ma ashabul Maymana, the people of the right hand. Washabul Mash'ama, ma ashabul Mash'ama, the people of the left hand. Meaning, if you get your book of deeds in your right hand, you pass. You get it in your left hand, you fail. But hold on, there's a higher category we should aspire to be amongst. And what is that? As-sabi'un, as-sabi'un, ulaika al-muqarrabun. Those who are first, those who are forerunners, those who are racing to do good deeds. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ Those are أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ Those are the ones who will be closest to Allah. Those are the ones who will be closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. So Allah is telling us, even from those who pass, there are different levels and grading of passing the test of life. Some people will just get by. Their good deeds will be just outweigh their bad deeds and be enough for them to get into Jannah. But others will excel and they will reach the higher levels of Jannah. And so even the description of Jannah in the surah is divided into two categories. There is a description of the Jannah of the Muqarrabun, the Jannah of the Awliya, the Jannah of the righteous, and then there is a description of the Jannah of the average Muslim. And both descriptions are beautiful, but Allah is giving us two messages here. One is to aspire to be amongst the Muqarrabun, to aim to be from those who are close to Allah, to work our hardest to be righteous, right? And the other is, even if you can't get there, you can at least pass. You can still get this, right? There's still a second prize. So if you're unable to be righteous, but you're still trying, don't worry, there are other levels of Jannah that you can get to. And now there's a beautiful description in the surah, which in a way functions like a prophecy, right? Allah knows best. One of the interpretations of this description is that it's a prophecy of how the ummah will grow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the surah about the righteous. He says, ثُلَّةٌ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِنَ الْآخِرِينَ In the early generations, there'll be many righteous people. Towards the end of time, there'll be very few. But he tells us about the Muslims, about those who pass the test of life, about those who get into Jannah. He says, ثُلَّةٌ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَثُلَّةٌ مِنَ الْآخِرِينَ Many of the early generations and many of the later generations. And so, some scholars have said that this is an indication that towards the end of time, there will be more Muslims, more people getting into Jannah, but there will be less pious people, less awliya, less people reaching the higher ranks of Jannah. And so in a way, this is a prophecy that the ummah will grow in number, but the level of piety of the later generations may not be that of the early generations. And we know this, that the early generations, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Arba' Tabi'een, we cannot reach the level of piety, right? And there are very few people in our time who can reach that level of piety. But the ummah are many in numbers today. Many people who inshallah will be saved on that day. So the ummah grows in numbers. So what this tells us is we should aspire to be from that few. We should try to be from the few who are muqarrabun, who are close to Allah, who are sabiqun, racing to do good deeds, right? Who are rushing with each other to do good deeds. If you look at the Sahaba, they had this attitude of being from those who race to do good deeds. You know, Umar radiallahu anhu was one of the best examples of this. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, I used to race with Abu Bakr to do good deeds, but he always used to beat me to it, right? And he said, one day, I brought half my wealth to give in charity, Abu Bakr brought all his wealth. That's when I realized I can't compete with this man. And he had a similar attitude towards his own brother, right? Many people are unaware of this, but Umar ibn Khattab had an older brother named Zayd ibn Khattab, who accepted Islam before him. And in the famous battle of Yamama against the false prophet Musaylimah al-Kazzab, Zayd ibn Khattab was martyred. He was one of the shuhada of that day. And Umar radiallahu anhu, when he hears this, he said, may Allah have mercy on Zayd. He beat me to Islam and he beat me to martyrdom. He beat me twice. Right? He converted to Islam before me and he became a shaheed before me. So they were competing in good deeds. Right? Who's going to be first? Who's going to be the one who gets closer to Allah? Who's the one who's going to do more? This should be the attitude of the believers. We compete in good deeds, not out of ego, but out of trying to please Allah, out of trying to get the highest ranks of Jannah. You know, this competition in good deeds is so embedded in our Sharia that the books of fiqh say that if there is a gap in the saf, right, when you're praying salah, you shouldn't give somebody else a gap, you should take it. Because you're supposed to be competing in good deeds. Many of us think it's adab or good manners to tell somebody else, no, you go. But the books of fiqh actually say you should step forward. Why? Because you're supposed to be competing in good deeds. You're supposed to want that front row reward for yourself. Right? So this is something embedded in our Sharia that we are supposed to be competing in good deeds for the sake of Allah. I want to be closest to Allah. I want to get more reward. I want to do more good deeds. I want to be the one to give the charity. We see this with the Sahaba, Uthman radiallahu anhu, the way he competed with the other Sahaba in giving charity as well. We see this with many of them, that there was this competition. One of the best examples, the Battle of Uhud, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was injured, and the Sahaba literally were arguing with each other over who's going to get the reward of pulling the armor out of his face. And Abu Ubaidah told Abu Bakr, it's my turn. You got enough, you were first in many things, let me get this one at least. And he pulled out the armor that was stuck in the Prophet's face and ended up losing two of his teeth in the process. But for him, it was a competition to see who's going to get the reward of helping Rasulullah at the time of need. So they had this attitude of wanting to do more, wanting to be first, wanting to be the best. And this is the primary attitude that this surah should revive in our hearts. That we should be competing in good deeds. We should be trying to be the best. We should be aiming to be from the muqarrabun, from those who are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we can't get there, inshallah we'll at least make it to those whose book of deeds are in their right hands. The surah then gives us a beautiful description of Jannah, talking about two types of Jannah, the Jannah of the people of the right hand, and before that the Jannah of the Muqarrabun. And then Allah describes Jahannam. He describes the hellfire. And He gives us a warning. And He tells us some of the qualities of those who will end up in the hellfire. And He talks about how they rejected the Day of Judgment, and how they were arrogant, and how they allowed the luxuries of this world to distract them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next part of the surah, He changes the topic of it. He talks about why we should worship Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about why we should worship Him. He talks about His blessings that we take for granted. That do we not think about how every aspect of our life is from Allah? And Allah mentions four blessings that we take for granted. Our origin, our food, our water, and He uses the word fire. But fire meaning light, right? In those days, people would use fire as light. Nowadays, we have electricity, but it's all from Allah. Allah is the one who gave humans the ability to invent these things. And Allah asks questions about all of this. And He asks, He says, "Afara'aytum ma tumnun?" Do you not see this liquid that comes out of you? Right? Are you the one who gives life from that liquid? Right? That, you know, that biologically, men have a liquid that they produce from which people are created, right? Where Allah creates people through this. He said, you ever think about that miracle? That you came from a drop of liquid, Allah gave it life and turned into a whole human being with all of the qualities that you have. And then He talks about the crops. He says, do you not look at your crops? Do you cause it to grow, or does Allah cause it to grow? And then He talks about water. He says, do you cause it to fall from the sky, or does Allah cause it to fall from the sky? And Allah said, if He wanted to, you could make the water salty. What are you going to do about it? If Allah made all of the water on earth salty, what can you do about it? Allah is reminding us, He is the one who has given us all these blessings. And then He tells us, فَلَوْلَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Will you not be grateful? This is the message. Will you not be grateful? You see, there are levels of worshipping Allah. There are those who worship Allah out of fear. But the highest level of worship, the level of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was to worship Allah out of gratitude. Should I not be a grateful servant? And Allah is calling us to be from the people of gratitude in the surah. We ask Allah to allow us to practice on what we have learned. Subhanahu rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Alhamdulillahi wahda wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiya ba'da amma ba'd. Faqad qala Allah ta'ala fi al-Qur'an al-Majid ba'da a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ولولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم هنا إذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون. After giving us a description of His power and His blessings that we take for granted, life, food, water, light, Allah then tells us about the Quran and its purpose, that the Quran is a revelation that is meant to be followed. And then the surah ends by telling us about death itself. And it links the topic of death with the topic from the beginning of the surah. So the surah begins with the day of judgment. You have the Muqarrabun, you have the people of the right hand, you have the people of the left hand. The surah ends with the time of death and the people who are Muqarrabun, the people of the right hand, the people of the left hand, at the time of death. Right? So Allah tells us in a very powerful description, and He says, فَلَوْلَا إِلَىٰ بَلَغَتِ الْخُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ هِينَ إِذِنْ تَنْزُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْثِرُونَ. He says, when the soul reaches the throats, when you see someone is dying, you can see the soul leaving the body. وَأَنْتُمْ هِينَ إِذِنْ تَنْزُرُونَ. And you are watching, you are there, you are present. You can see the soul is about to leave the body. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ. And we are close to Him, but you cannot see. You cannot see that Allah and the angel of death and all of the unseen, that they are closer than we. Right? وَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرُ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَوَدِكِينَ. Allah gives a challenge to disbelievers. If you think you're not going to be held to account on the day of judgment, bring the soul back. Bring the soul back. Allah challenges human beings. If you think you are in control, if you think you are the greatest thing that exists, you try and prevent that. At that moment when the soul is leaving, anyone can tell you, our doctors can tell you, humans can't do anything. Once the soul is going, the soul is going. Right? The soul is in Allah's hands. No one can control the soul. Your time is up, the angel of death is there, it's over. Allah is reminding us on that moment we'll be powerless. All that matters on that moment is, which of the three categories do you fall into? And so Allah tells us, وَأَمَّا إِن كَانَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ فَرَوْهُ وَالْرَيْحَانُ وَجَنَّةُ النَّعِيمُ. If at that moment of death, if you are from the Muqarrabin, from those who are close to Allah, from the awliya, from the righteous, then you're going to have happiness, you're going to have flowers, you're going to have gardens, you're going to have Jannah. Your death is going to be a beautiful death. You're going to have a beautiful ending. Right? وَأَمَّا إِن كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينَ فَسَلَامٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينَ. And even if you are from the people of the right hand, meaning even if you went from the pious, but you were Muslim, you had tried your best, you worshipped Allah, you did the best you could, فَسَلَامٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينَ. You will have peace, you will be greeted by the people of Jannah. You will be greeted by the people of Jannah, meaning you're still getting into Jannah. وَأَمَّا إِن كَانَ مِنَ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ الضَّالِّينَ. But if at the moment of death, if you were amongst those who rejected the day of judgment, those who are misguided, فَنُزُلُ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ وَتَسْلِيَةُ جَحِيمٍ, then you will be welcomed by the hellfire and thrown deep into the fire. إِنَّ هَذَا لَوْ حَقُّ الْيَقِينِ فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَزِيمِ. This is a true and certain word. So say subhanAllah, glorify your God and greatness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah by telling us that there is definitely a day of judgment coming. Al-Waqiyah, it is inevitable, it is going to happen. You decide which of those three groups you want to be in on that day by choosing how you're going to live your life. Will you be from those who are close to Allah? Will you be from the right hand? Will you be from the left hand? And He ends the surah by reminding us that when the time of death comes, it's too late to decide which group you're going to be in. When the time of death comes, that is when you will see the first taste of what is to come in the afterlife based on that decision. The purpose of surahs like this is to prepare our hearts for the afterlife. So we live our lives in a way that is akhirah-centric. We are focused on the afterlife. Our vision is always on Jannah. It is always on the pleasure of Allah. And every decision we make in this world should be made in a way that brings us closer to Allah. It should not be done in a way that is all about this world and all about ego and all about greed. It should be about Jannah. It should be about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take the time to read the surah, and I highly recommend at least reading translation of the description of Jannah in the surah. And do some tadabbur, reflect on the surah. And let us be from the people who are focused on the afterlife, who live this life for the next, so that when the moment of death comes, we will be from the Muqarrabun, we will be from those who are close to Allah, and if we cannot make it to the Muqarrabun, we will at least be from the Ashabul Yameen, from the people of the right hand. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Okay, Mr.